Let's begin by turning to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As you all know, I had the flu last week. And I believe I had the flu when I was a young boy. But I know I had the flu when I was a young teenager, about 13. And then I had the flu again when I was 26 years old. I know it was 26 years old. So if it was indeed 13 years later, I had the flu. All right, well now, I just had the flu at 39 years old. 13 years later. So hopefully I'm good till 52. But last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, I was talking with Irene Moody on the phone. And I called her to ask her if she would come play the piano for us last Sunday morning because Hannah was going to be home with Sophie. She had the flu. And Irene said, I would love to. But I can't make it because I'm sick too. I won't be there. And then I, in all of my wisdom, in all of my knowledge, in all of my understanding, proceeded to tell her about some supplements that I take that really boosts my immune system. And I believe it helps me fight off sickness. And no sooner than the words came out of my mouth, I was brought down. I was brought down. Man, I was weak. I was weak. The nights were rough. The days were not much better. It was rough. Nothing like what some of our brethren endure. I'm not even going to pretend to insinuate that I had it worse than our dear brethren. But I thought about this verse of Scripture right here. I thought about it in light of our text this morning. Psalm 119, verse 71. David said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." God sends sickness. You know that? We do everything we can in our power to keep from it. We take it all. I wash my hands and wash my hands. But God sends sickness. We do not get sick by chance. We just don't. Everything in the world that He created. He created this world and everything in it. All those little germs were made by Him. And everything in the world that He created is under His control. It's under His rule and His power. Every bit of it. A sparrow cannot die and fall to the ground unless he gives permission. Isn't that the truth? Is that not the truth? Most people don't know that. But that's the truth. That's what the Word of God says. A sparrow cannot die and fall to the ground unless he gives permission. A leaf cannot let go of a tree and fall to the ground unless he gives permission. In the fall, the wind blows and you see all those leaves doing all that. You know what they're saying? Can we fall yet? Yes. A germ cannot fly through the air and infect a human being unless he gives permission. It's all by permission. And David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn that. That I might learn thy statutes, learn your truth, your word in the matter. This morning, I want us to understand that, and I want us to enter into that in light of eternity. In light of eternity. I want us to see if the Lord will cause us to enter in to what grace it is. What absolute goodness and grace and mercy it is that He would open our eyes to the point that we see what we really are and it breaks us. You know how good that would be? You know what mercy that would be? If it just crushed us. I mean brought us down. Not that we acknowledge that we understand what the Word of God is saying. Yes, I see that's what it's saying. Yes, and I see that's what it's saying. Uh-huh, I got it. That is what it's saying. Not that. Not that. I pray we would see how good it would be for us if we could say this word right here has absolutely stripped me of everything I thought I was. Everything I thought I was. But it was so good for me. It was so good for me that God afflicted me. And I pray we'll see why here in just a minute. With that in mind, go with me now to the text. It's Mark chapter 6. Our Lord has just taken 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed a multitude of people with them. Verse 44 says, Mark 6, 44, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's an amazing account, isn't it? That is an amazing account. 5,000 men. Now, we're going to read just a few verses right here, and I want to show you something that is more amazing than that, I believe. This is absolutely amazing. Verse 45 says, and straightway, that means immediately, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Passed by them. I'm going to tell you in just a minute that every time I read this, I got those two words mixed up. I just did it again. Passed by them. Verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now watch this verse right here. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Unbelievable, isn't it? That's unbelievable. Their heart was already hardened to what the Lord had done for them. I read that and I thought, how could their heart already be hardened? The Lord fed 5,000 people, thousands more with women and children, with 5 loaves, 2 fish. They handed it all out. They saw it firsthand. They saw the basket never ran dry. And then He put them immediately in a ship, and He sent that multitude away, and already their heart was hardened. They'd already forgotten about it. It was already put out of their mind. Out of sight, out of mind. It meant nothing to them. Nothing. The glory of His ability, His work, His goodness, His provision, His kindness, hardened. Just hardened. That is every single one of us in this room. Isn't that unbelievable? That's every soul on earth. It's every single soul on earth. We are all born into this world with a hardened heart, aren't we? A hardened heart. A heart that does not acknowledge God. A heart that does not thank God and love God and trust God. Now, men and women do acknowledge. Some would hear me say that and say, that's not true. Men and women do acknowledge the God that they've made up in their mind. They love that God. They worship that God. But it's not the true God of the Bible. Men and women are not born into this world with a heart that loves and acknowledges and worships the true and living God. And it crushes me. I mean, it crushes me to know that men and women are leaving this world every day. They're leaving this world every single day totally oblivious to the wrath that is waiting for a hard heart. A man told me a few years ago about another man we both knew who had died. He told me that he passed away. And when he said that, I said, oh no. And he told me, it's okay. He was right with God. And as soon as he said that, I thought, how do you know? How do you know? I know where he attended worship. They didn't preach one stitch of truth in that place. It was all lies. Not one fiber of truth. But still, men and women just assume they're right with God. Oh yeah, we're right with God. How do you know? I tell you one thing that I do know. This flesh right here, the flesh of this man that is standing before you right now, is not right with God. It is not right with God. It is full of sin. Crown of this head to the sole of this foot. That's all it is. It's just full of sin. It's full of wickedness. This hard heart right here is not right with God. Not if it stands alone. And because of that, I don't want to meet God alone. I don't want to go meet God alone. And you don't either. And thanks be unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to. We do not have to. That's the greatest thing I know to tell sinners. You don't have to go meet God alone. I foolishly wondered before, what will I say when my name is called? I'm not going to say anything. When Gabe Stoniker is called, Jesus Christ will say, here. We're here. Here is our record. You don't have to go meet God alone. God in mercy has chosen to call some sinners to Christ. Isn't that good news? He has chosen to pay their debts. Every sin we've committed requires a payment. And we've racked up a big account. But He chose to pay every single debt on that account. He chose to take those sinners and wash them clean. And He chose to give them a brand spanking new heart. One that loves God, the true and living God. One that acknowledges God, thanks God, and trusts God. And here's how He does it. Verse 45 in Mark chapter 6. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. He put His own disciples into that ship, didn't He? Straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. Now think about how precious this is. All right? He put them in this ship knowing a storm would meet them. That's the whole reason He put them into a ship. He put them into a ship for one reason, so that a storm could meet them. He was going to afflict them. And as He sent them into the middle of the sea, at that same moment in time, He went up high into a mountain to pray. When that time came, for that affliction of mercy to come, at that exact moment in time, He was high in His holy mountain, praying. They're about to, with much fear and trembling, see the horror of the condition they're in. And that's what He brings a sinner to see. A sinner is born into this world and life is good. Man, life is good. Business is good. Love is good. Friends are good. And one day, all of a sudden, God goes, see yourself. And it's bad. Oh, wretched man that I am. I had no idea. And at that same moment in time, whenever God sends His child to see the condition he's truly in, He, right up there in the heavens, making intercession for them, praying for them. In John 17, He said, I pray for them. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. He was praying for them. He knew they're about to head out into this storm, and He was praying for them. Verse 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Now here they are, basically drowning in the Sea of Tiberias. They're giving it all they have. And they're getting nowhere. And those waves are overtaking this ship. Here they are drowning in the Sea of Tiberias. Here we are drowning in our sin. Men and women are spinning their wheels through this life, aren't they? Rowing, struggling, running. when it comes to salvation and when it comes to eternal life, they are getting nowhere. I mean, they're getting nowhere. Rowing and toiling. Drowning in our own sins. Verse 48 says, "And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking upon the sea." He left his holy mountain of communion with God the Father, didn't he? Here they were, drowning in their sin. And he left his mountain of communication with his Father, and he came down to them right where they were, in all of their hopelessness, in all of their helplessness. And he planted his feet, and he walked through the very sea that was taking them down. That's just what he did for you and me if we belong to him. That is exactly what he did. He touched our infirmities. All that ocean of sin that was killing us, dragging us down, he touched them. He tread a path right through them. I love how it says at the end of verse 48, he would have passed by them. I just told you, I kept reading that. Every time I read through it, I kept reading through this saying, he passed them by. He would have passed them by. Finally, it hit me, he would have never passed them by. I mean never. We just sang it, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." He would have never passed them by. Never. He chose them. He loved them. He came there to die for them. He came there to gather them to himself and be with them forever. He would never have passed them by, but he would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. Turn with me over to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." Two walking on the road to Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Now watch this. And he made as though he would have gone further. Don't you love our Lord? Don't you love His character and His personality? Who He is, His mind, His heart, His way? Here He is talking to them, expounding everything in the Scripture concerning Himself. Telling them the gospel, the good news of every bit of it. And they are eating it up. They are hanging on every word of it. I didn't know that story meant that. That's what Noah's Ark represents. And then here they get to the end of their journey. Their house. And he makes as though he's just going to keep on going. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? The whole time they were walking, he was doing all the talking. And the hearts of those two men were doing all the burning. And they said, oh man, they got to the end of their journey and he acted like he was going to go on and pass them by. And they said, no, please come stay with us. Please keep talking to us. He did the same thing to blind Bartimaeus. That beggar on the side of the road, that poor old beggar. Bartimaeus heard everybody saying, he's passing by. Here he comes. He's passing by. Blind Bartimaeus started crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. All this big crowd of people and this poor little man, you know how many people you think were standing in front of him. He didn't have a front row seat. Crying behind everybody, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody standing around him said, hush, he does not have time for you. You're going to miss him anyway. He's passing by right now. And he cried the more, Lord, please. Have mercy on me. And I love how it says that God Almighty stood still. Looked right at him and said, bring him to me. Our Lord knows how to draw His own to Himself, doesn't He? He knows how to make this heart cry, no, please. First, He shows us our need, and then He gives us a heart to cry out for mercy. And I'm going to tell you, when God moves on a heart, that heart starts begging. It starts begging. Go with me to Matthew 14. I think this is a very sobering statement. One man made this statement. He said, we can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner. You know that? We can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner. It is not enough for me to know that I must cry out to God for mercy. I must cry out to God for mercy. You know that? I must cry out for mercy. And when God afflicts the heart of His own, that heart will cry out for mercy. And this is the greatest cry a sinner could ever cry. This is Matthew's account of our text. Look at verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Greatest cry ever spoken. Three words. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Lord, save me. That heart right there acknowledged who must do the saving and who needs to be saved. Lord, save me. Me. It's not enough to know that we must cry out. We must cry out. And if we belong to Him, He is going to give us a merciful affliction that makes us cry out. We will. We will. If we do not cry out, then He's not working on this heart. That's what it means. He shows us our need, and then He gives us an urgent heart to cry out for mercy. And every heart that cries out will hear this. Go with me back to the text. Mark 6, verse 49 says, But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Once the Lord opens the eyes of a sinner, their sin, they didn't see their sin before. And now all of a sudden their sin starts coming wave after wave, like this torrential storm. But once a person sees Christ, that storm brings horror, it brings fear. But once a person sees Christ, and once a person sees what he endured to put away the storm of that sin, they're all taken away, every one of them. All taken away. Once they see that, the winds cease. They cease. That sinner finds himself in the ship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single time, this is what he says, every time, it was so good for me that I was afflicted. It was so good for me. Years ago, there was a man that had something happen to him. I don't know what it was, but he was put in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He was crippled. And this man kind of lost it all. He just kind of lost it all. And he was sitting in his meager apartment in his wheelchair one Sunday morning. And he turned his TV on. And as soon as the screen came on, there was Brother Henry with his finger pointed at him. Henry Mahan was a pastor who had a television broadcast, a gospel television broadcast. And he came on right in the middle of the broadcast. And there he is with his finger pointed at him. And he said, Now, It is the first thing that the man heard. He said, now there are a lot of differences between me and you. There are a lot of things that are different about me and you. But he said, there is one thing that me and you most certainly have in common. He said, I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. And that guy got so mad he turned that TV off and he said, I ain't no sinner. Who's he calling a sinner? And he sat in that wheelchair and finally he said, well, maybe I am a sinner. And he turned it back on. And Sunday after Sunday, he watched the gospel come through that television. And God had mercy on that man's soul and he saved him. And years later, he made this statement. He said, I believe God put me in a wheelchair to save my soul. You know what he was saying? It was so good for me that I was afflicted. God was so good to me in all of my affliction, putting me in a place of need. It is so good for a sinner, so merciful for a sinner if God would afflict him, if God would show him his sin and bring him down. Because once he starts going down, he will cry, Lord, save me. Save me. And I'm going to close with this. I love this. Verse 53 says, when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Verse 55 does not say, and went through that whole region round about. It says they ran. I love that. As soon as they got there, they knew who was in the ship with them. They got on the land and they ran. They started running frantically, quickly. Are you sick? Trying to find somebody who's dying. Are you sick? Are you really sick? Peter said, James, help me get him. And they ran him. Lord, here's somebody who's afflicted. Can you please help them? And then they ran and found somebody else. Are you sick? We're all sick. All of you? Andrew, we need help. We have a bunch of sick and afflicted people who need Christ. And they ran them all that they could. They ran them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hear them hollering at each other. Time's wasting, man. Let's go. And time is wasting, isn't it? Time is wasting. Let's all cry out for mercy right now from the depths of our sin and our affliction. Lord, save me. Save me. If He gives you that heart to cry, you cry because He already has. You cry that and immediately you'll be caught. I promise. All right, let's stand together.